Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis. And wait a second. The Phillies won. They actually got out of the inning. Yes, they survived the poison pen. Oh, my God. I was thinking about this. Are you kidding me? They're up 13-1. See, this is the problem with this team. This is what drives me insane. Because you love them and you root like hell for them. But it comes down to they can't win. They can't win because they have a bullpen that is an abomination. You can't win with that bullpen. It's impossible. It's an abomination put forth by the general manager. Like, you go into the season. Look, I know this is different, and it's a weird year, and you're trying to get these games in. But you got to at least try to win. And this bullpen, like, how many times? I got to ask you guys a question. Who are you sick of more? Right? The Sixers floundering and the process, because we're getting into the process, or Nick Pivetta and Double V, Vinny V. I mean, seriously, do I got to see those two again? Do I got to see Nick Pivetta yet again? It's great stuff he's got. He gets rocked. It's either Nick Pivetta, if it's not Ektor, who's your only hope in that bullpen? It's Pivetta and a bunch of dudes that throw 81 miles an hour. You got to be kidding me. I can't even enjoy a win. I was looking at the standings the other day, yesterday, and I'm thinking, how the hell? They're not going to make the playoffs. I figured, look, the expanded playoffs, they got to make the playoffs. They can't. They're not going to. And it's all because of the bullpen. This bullpen is atrocious. Like, we talk about it, and you go, well, they have holes in their lineup. But you could survive at least getting to the postseason with expanded playoffs if you got some semblance of a relief core. But they have none. And it ruined. Like, I'm trying to remember a night when they had, when you have, like, a win. And they put all those runs up. And you go, wow, that feels good. And then it completely got sullied by the ninth inning. At some point you go, wow, man, do I got to see this group again? My God. And then we're going to have a game today where the Sixers are going to rest all their credible players. Now, I get it. The bubble, if you've been paying attention, the bubble over the last few days, there's been guys in and out of the lineup. Like, the Bucks have nothing to play for. They went with the scrap guys. No Giannis yesterday. The Raptors did the same thing. There was no Lowry yesterday. No Ibaka yesterday. So it's rest time, because these games now don't mean anything, and you're going to just try for the playoffs. But you're going to, the Sixers, they're in such a state of disarray now. Those guys got to play. You got to figure out what you got. I know they're not going to go anywhere, not without Simmons, but that doesn't mean anything. You got to figure out where you're headed, what you're going to do. And then we're going to play Joel Embiid on the JJ Redick podcast. And I love the dude. I really do. I love Simmons and Embiid. I still love him. I do. Warts and all, I'm not giving up on him. And I don't blame you for your patience being worn thin. You listen to that podcast with Jimmy, with J.J. Redick, 45 minutes, and you want to pull your hair out. And here's the thing you get tired of. I'm the most dominant player. You are, but you don't do it. And then you can't get mad when people boo you because you're not doing it every night. And you keep referencing, well, I need to have motivation. What more motivation do you? What do you really need? After a while, you get completely frustrated. The motivation is go out there, take your coddled ass out there and play 32 minutes. That's it. That's all anybody's asking. And it's indicative of the process, the whole thing. And you know what? I heard a caller, and he was right. He called the morning show just about 20 minutes ago, and he railed on the frustration of hearing Embiid talk about it but not do it. And he used the analogy of kids. Now, I got two kids, so they say it all the time. They say the right thing. They tell you what you want to hear, and then they do the opposite. Yeah, yeah, Daddy, I won't leave all the big water bottles out. And next thing you know, there's half-drunk water bottles all over the house. But that's what Embiid gives you. And here's the bigger picture. The bigger picture is I have not lost my way with the process. And I know it bugs you, and we'll talk about it. I know the process bugs you. I know what happened. I know you're going to hear Markelle Fultz, and it was the process was a failure. I don't believe it was. I still don't believe it was. I still believe in Simmons and Embiid. I think you can't use this frustration to spite yourself. And I think we're in danger of being in spite mode. Now, I get spite mode. We're Philadelphians. We're the kings of spite. But as frustrating as this whole thing is, I think you got to run it back to some extent, at least with Embiid and Simmons and Harris, and get a new voice and see if that will work. But we'll discuss whether or not you think the process was a failure or whether or not you think it's still alive and can be successful. Because I'm still option B. I still think it can be successful. And at 11:30... speaking of successful, we forget there was a lot of frustrations in Flyer land, right? The Flyers had dipped to basically no one talked about them, not a peep. They were stuck in a no man's land. And then all of a sudden, Chuck Fletcher comes in, who's going to join the show at 11:30. And he brings in Alain Vigneault. And the next thing you know, the stockpile of talent that Ron Hextall had put together, coupled with all the right moves by Chuck Fletcher and the coaching of Alain Vigneault, and they're the number one seed going into the playoffs. The NHL starts tonight, Flyers tomorrow night. And it's how quickly, when you have a base, things can turn. And that's why I look at the Sixers and I don't think all's lost. I think they got to do a couple of pivots and then go back at it, and they still have a chance. Good morning, Chunas.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Did you survive the pen last night?
Yes, I did. I kind of laughed. It kind of got to the point where I was laughing.
It was gallows pen humor.
Because there was no way they're going to lose that game, right? At least that's what I like to tell myself. There's no way they're going to lose that game, so just every run that was scored was more and more funny. If they got to 13-10...
I find that funny.
If they got to 13-10, that's probably when I would have been
like,
all right.
Jack Nicholson on a wall. It's funny.
It's a good movie. I've seen it like once. But yeah, I mean, it was more comical than anything else. But I texted you immediately. There's no way Nick Pivetta can still be on the roster today, right?
Yeah, he'll be here. It's 13. He yes.
Not going to get the announcement that he was sent down.
No, it's 13-1 entering the top of the ninth.
Yes.
And it was, you know, let's face it, 13-1. The Braves can't wait to get out. Like, they're done. And the next thing you know, here they go. They start hitting. All because of old Nick, Mr. I Got Great Stuff.
Yes. Oh, I worked on a cutter this offseason, Ant.
Ugh. It's a shame. Nola gave you a great performance, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, allowed only 2 hits. And it took him only 89 pitches to give you that 8 strong.
It's incredible.
It took Nick Pivetta 29 pitches to give up 6 runs on 6 hits and get 1 out.
Aaron Nola gave up 2 hits in 8 innings. Nick Pivetta gave up more hits in a third.
He gave up 3 times more hits.
Yep, in a third of an inning.
Yeah, 6 times more runs.
Yeah, incredible.
You can make the math work for you. And I love the kid, Trevor Kelly. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Career ERA of 6 before he comes here. He's great. He's got stuff, man.
What's he throw, 74?
No, he's got some heat. It's just it's a sidearm action that is flat and just goes straight.
I know.
And it's like, all right, let me put this one on.
He doesn't have heat, cuz. He don't have
heat. He's got some heat.
He's got his sun lamp. Come on, man. Heat.
Oh, don't disrespect TK. He's the second best TK in the city.
He makes old TK look bad. I hate this bullpen. I hate these dudes. These ham and eggers. It's horrible. And it goes back to the feet of the other K. The MK. Matt Klentak.
Good boy.
How does he still have a job? I need to figure the mystery. You know, there's a couple mysteries out there. The mysteries of the process. The mysteries of how Matt Klentak somehow has the ear of John Middleton.
He's got pictures.
I just don't understand it. I don't understand the lack of talent in his mind. Every day I look at it and go, how could you come into this season, whatever it is, with those arms?
And just think about the names that
like,
have come
why,
out.
Why did you let Leroy? Like, I understand about the luxury tax, but if you flub this thing to where you're looking at a poison pen or Liriano and the luxury tax, you got to go Liriano and luxury tax. You get too much invested. You can't go winging a prayer on the Pivettas and the Vinnies, right?
No, there's no way. And then you got the Cole, add Cole Irvin to the mix. Right, I had Tommy Hunter who said, Tommy Hunter had the quote of the week last week. It was with Rob Motti, and he said, don't push that red button yet. The bullpen's fine. Ever since then, the ERA's gone up. And it was already high. It's gone up. Amazing. Don't push that red button. I'd push it immediately. Here's an incredible stat that Jason Stark put out this morning around 9:15. The Phillies bullpen now has a 10.66 ERA when leading in a game.
Nah.
So think about that. You're trying to hold a lead. And their ERA is 10.66. That's a higher ERA than any other team's bullpen ERA when trailing in a game.
Yes.
Their incomprehensible stats when pitching with a lead, 15 earned runs, 23 hits, 5 home runs in 12 2/3 innings.
Wow.
The Braves bullpen when having a lead, a 0.56 ERA.
All told, the bullpen has allowed 34 earned runs in 31 innings.
Incredible. That's incredible.
It's unfathomable. It truly is. You go, well, really?
It's historic.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be. Elias is going to come out with the stat today.
Yeah.
Saying it's the first time ever.
Yep. No, amazing. It's truly amazing. But the process continues today down in Orlando. And I heard a lot of people talking about it. We're kind of back in the, all right, let's take inventory of the process. And I'm curious to what you think. Do you think, is it a failure? Is it over? Is it done? And in your eyes, is it a failure? I still think it's alive, and I don't think it's a failure. So I would do it. I would have done a couple different moves, but I would do it all over again.
So it's not done yet. To me, it's done when one of the two are gone, Embiid or Simmons, because that was the point of the process. You want to use a different word. You want to call it the progress or whatever. Everybody can tries to find different terms. But the process surrounds the names of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and then assets, right? That was the other big thing that Sam Hinkie always pushed,
right,
was assets. And assets was having enough money to get guys like Tobias Harris, Al Horford, getting those second-round picks that never really panned out. But you still have guys like Shake Milton. You have later first-round picks. And,
right, they turned Shamit into something.
Yeah, exactly. So the assets thing, and there are still assets that are associated with the Philadelphia 76ers right now. So to me, the process is not over. The process might not be over until one of those two are gone or 10 years from now. But I'm not going to say it's a success yet, but you can't call it a failure.
I heard a lot of people saying it's a failure.
I don't think
I heard
you
a lot
can.
Of people saying they would trade Ben for, who was the one guy? He said, I would trade Ben. I was listening to Mikey Mish yesterday on the way home, and he said he would trade Ben Simmons for, you know, some Steph, you go, dude, come on.
Like, I know like he was serious about it.
Yeah, I know you're frustrated, but come on.
He wasn't joking. I'll take Neto over Simmons. He was serious, like, I'll take Tyler Hero over Ben Simmons.
Yes, it was somebody like that.
Yeah, see, no,
here's the thing.
That's too far.
We look at the, we watch the bubble, and we think that that's the league. That's the NBA. It's not. When the playoffs start, the games become different. And the Tyler Heroes of the world aren't going to drop in 30. I mean, just the game, you play defense. The deeper you go in the NBA and the playoffs, it becomes a man's game. It's physical. It's defensive. It changes. The tenor changes. But I understand frustration. And I'll ask you, does the frustration begin and end with Joel, even more than Simmons? Because you know that Joe can utterly dominate.
Yes.
You hear Joe on the podcast, and what's the thing you say? We'll do.
Then go do it.
Do it every night.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. Because after a while, you start to get frustrated to the point where you go, I don't want to hear you. Just do it.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I always come back to the coach just because I can't stand the way this team is coached with the style of players that they have. But if I'm going to put the coach aside, because that is such an easy, it's low-hanging fruit to blame Brett Brown at this point, even though.
Well, the problem is that you can't get around it.
But yeah, you're right. But I hear what you're saying about the Embiid thing, and you're spot on, and so was the caller earlier that you referenced to the morning show.
He was. I'm really making it was his point. I get frustrated too, but you know how I feel. I want the two of those guys, and I'm going to go and I'll die on the hill. I mean, that's just bottom line. I'm keeping those two together,
Yeah, you want to bring in a new voice first, but I mean, this isn't
maybe
the first
tweak.
I mean, just look at the beginning of the bubble, right before they started playing. I read you that one quote where Joel Embiid said, "I like to talk smack into people's faces just to let them know that they suck and that I'm better than you." Like, that was one of those quotes, one of those other Joel Embiid quotes that came out just before they resumed play. And you know what? He did back that up in the first game with the 40 and 20. And he has played well in the bubble.
He's played great. He has played well.
But what happens come playoff time when he disappears?
Well,
which we've seen.
See, the problem is that he hasn't done it. He hasn't dominated on a consistent basis yet. You know, he can, and he just hasn't done it yet. And when he talks, people get frustrated. Would you agree with that?
Yes, because we hear I am the most dominant player in the world league. I can be the most dominant. And then there are games where he disappears. And we saw it a lot this year. We saw it a lot this year from a guy that just seemed disinterested. And that was probably the biggest problem.
Yes. All right, we got lots to get to. Today, we sift through the frustration. That is the Phillies bullpen, and the process. With a nice break, Chuck Fletcher at 11:30 to get you ready for Flyers Canadians tomorrow night. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas, just getting started on a Tuesday morning. All right, look, the hits literally keep on coming from one MMA event to the next one. They grow in excitement and anticipation, and UFC 252 is no different, with two of the sport's most respected figures stepping into the octagon this weekend. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings offering all new users the opportunity to bet $1 to win $252. There's some great odds, huh? To celebrate this weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook's offering new users the opportunity to bet $1 and win $252 when placing a bet on the big fight. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including fighter props. That's right. Round-by-round betting. So much more. Plus, with basketball playoffs right around the corner, DraftKings Sportsbook's offering $10 in free bets to use on in-game action for every round, every day of the first round of the playoffs. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook, safe, secure, reliable betting app. Deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up for limited time. All new users can bet $1 to win $252 on this weekend's main event. That's code FANATIC only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with the Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Ready with the Tuners hanging out. Getting ready for tomorrow night. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We can't wait. Game one of the playoffs begin tomorrow night. We're thrilled. Flyers, Canadiens, and of course, game two, Friday, 3 o'clock. You can hear game two right here on the Fanatic at 3 o'clock. And joining us right now, man, he has done a fabulous job putting together his team. Chuck Fletcher, GM of the Flyers. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you?
We're great. And first of all, let me just say congratulations. It's just been such a fun ride this whole year. And then getting back in the bubble, it's been fantastic, Chuck. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. It's been a good run so far, and we can't wait to get playing. It's the Canadiens are a good hockey team. I think a little bit underrated. Great speed, some good young players, and great goaltending. So we'll have a challenge ahead of us. But you know, we've been here well over 2 weeks, and we played 4 games. So I know everybody's excited to get back to playing hockey on a regular basis.
Can we go to the beginning? And I love the story of how a team progresses and rebuilding a team. And you as an architect, you come in and there was some great talent here, and they had won, and we're kind of like at a crossroads almost, and you need to hire a coach. And I know a lot of people wanted Quenneville, and they're looking at Joel Quenneville, and you said, I want to hire Lane Vigneault. Take us back to that process, because that was the first of your moves that just hit it out of the park.
Yeah, the first point you made is a great point. I mean, Ron Hextall did a really good job of restocking the cupboards. There was a lot of very good young players, but the reality is we needed to learn how to play the right way, and we needed to learn how to defend better. There was lots of offensive talent in the group and lots of care. These young guys really care and want to win, but they needed to be guided. And Lane's track record speaks for itself. I had the misfortune of being in the same division with him for several years when he was in Vancouver, and we were in Minnesota, and we bumped heads with them regularly. And their teams were always structured. They always played fast. They always seemed to control the puck possession game. The biggest thing when we sat down to meet was, did he want to work with me and with the Flyers? And B, did I want to work with him? I don't think there was much in terms of interviewing him, trying to figure out if he could coach. Obviously, he could coach. It's more about the fit, the opportunity both ways. And, And, you know, I think things went great, and it's been a good decision for our team.
Yeah, and it was great about him is he's got such a good way about him, and it's almost like it is what it is. He's going to tell you, if you're not playing well, I don't care if you're a veteran or a young guy, this is the rules, man. You got to play. If not, you're going to be a healthy scratch, and that's that.
Exactly. And he, you know, when we started camp this year, what he said to the players is, show it. You know, we can talk all we want to talk. We can have these great plans, but really we all have to go out and show it. You're going to be held accountable. And it's never personal with him, though. When he's sat a veteran player, or when he's, you know, had a tough conversation with a veteran player or a rookie, it's just matter of fact. It's showing the video, and this is what you didn't do. This is how we need you to do it better. And he's very direct and honest, but it's not a personal attack. It's a, hey, you need to do this. I know you can do it. And his ability to command a room, his ability to get the players to buy in and play the way he wants them to play and enjoy it, it's just been tremendous. And I mean, I think his experience and the experience of the entire staff, they've seen every situation. They know how to handle it. And I think the players really respect that.
We're talking to Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher on the Comcast Business Hotline. Chuck, the other move before the season was you signed Kevin Hayes. And I'll raise my hand and say, I thought it was too much money, right? This is how much I know. And Kevin Hayes has been a tremendous signing. He's become a heart and soul guy. He's great in the room. He's better on the ice. That line with Konechny and Lawton has been fabulous. What did you see? What did you see in Hayes knowing that he would be the fit here?
Well, we relied a lot on obviously our pro scouts and Elaine Vigneault, who knew him well, to kind of put his game into context and what it would mean in our situation. But it's just extremely hard to get centermen. And, you know, we were really thinking that, you know, with Sean Couturier and Kevin Hayes and Nolan Patrick, we would have three big skilled centermen that could play 200-foot games and really solidify us through the middle of the ice. And after we traded for Kevin, we negotiated with him for a couple weeks. And at that point, we started to find out that Nolan wasn't feeling great. So it became even more of an imperative to bring some depth in. Yeah. But, you know, Kevin's a guy that we think he's a late bloomer. He's a guy that's a good offensive player, certainly can be a good defensive player, a good penalty killer. And he brings a lot of life and energy to a group. And, you know, it's hard to find these guys. It's hard to sign them. You know, the market for these players is anywhere from about $5.5 million to about $8 million. You know, we did what we had to do. We got him signed, and we're happy we did.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's great. It was a great move. And the other thing you did, and this will take us to the present, but the other thing was at the deadline, and I know people were screaming, oh, we'll try to get some big names in, and you wind up getting two veteran cogs that I think were perfect for this lineup in Derek Grant and Nate Thompson. Gave you that depth that everybody's raving about right now.
Yeah, they've come in and fit in really well. And, you know, two veteran guys, you know, Grant is a guy that he played under power play this year for a while after JVR was injured. He can kill penalties. He's pretty good on faceoffs. He can play wing, he can play center. And Nate Thompson has similar attributes. You know, he's not going to play in your power play, but he can kill and he can play center. He can play wing. He'll block a shot. And what you see in playoffs is, you know, if you're fortunate enough to go deep, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have situations where guys get run down. And when you have the ability to put guys in different spots and move them around the lineup and have that depth that, you know, gets talked about a lot, but truly coaches appreciate it. It's so important. And you know, at the deadline, the one thing is we liked our team. We didn't feel we needed to change anything. We had been one of the better teams in the league for a couple months, and we just really wanted to supplement versus changing things over. And usually those types of moves have less of an impact on your team in terms of disrupting your chemistry when you're bringing in guys that can move all over the lineup. These guys are character guys, and our you know, our team has embraced them, and they've done a good job for us.
Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. I don't have to school you about Philadelphia and hockey and the Flyers and, you know, what it mean, what this franchise means to the area. And it was dark days for a good 5 years. And we were talking about the whole process of the Flyers. And now it feels like it's back and it feels real good, Chuck. And you look at this team and this is great. And this tournament and the bubble, thank God we're able to play. But this team is so filled with young talent that it's going to be good for a while. I know that has to just excite you.
Yeah, it is. And again, I can't say enough about the job that the scouting staff did and Ron Hextall's vision. And, you know, obviously when you're retooling or rebuilding or whatever term you want to use, there's going to be some days that aren't great. But, you know, just these young players, a lot of good young players were drafted. There's a very good development staff. The coaching staff in Lehigh Valley has worked hard with some of these guys, particularly players like Sanheim and Myers, who we've seen emerge this year. And, you know, it takes time. It's not always a simple process, but, you know, right now we have a pretty good mix of those young kids that are starting to learn how to play in the league and be effective and the veteran guys that have been there and done that and are just itching to try to win something. So, you know, everything's kind of clicking right now. There's going to be some challenges ahead, though. We know that. But there's certainly every reason to be optimistic for the next few years. And it's a good, you know, it's a good hockey team. And right now we'd really like to show that we're better than good. We'd like to make a run here and show what we can do. And it's going to be a challenge. It's tough, but it seems like it's a wide open year. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. You got a couple more minutes. I'm dying to hear what you think about certain guys. So I just want to play a little game with you, Chuck, where I just give you a player and then you riff off the top of your head. And I got to start with the goalie. You know, the rich history of goaltenders in Philadelphia starts with Bernie through Pelly. And then of course, Hexy. When I say Carter Hart, what do you say about him?
Well, he's cerebral. He's poised, and it's a position that often takes time to learn the craft, particularly at the pro level and at the NHL level. And he obviously has the talent and the track record from junior and all that. But you know, he's a young man that seems to be able to learn lessons quickly. And this year, he'd had some bumps in the road, but he's been able to to kind of bounce back and get on track quickly. And this will be another challenge for him, though. The physicality around the net in the playoffs really picks up, and Montreal has some guys that like to get in around the net and bump them, and this will be a whole new challenge for him. But he's a quick learner, and hopefully that works out well for us.
How about Konechny?
He's a heartbeat guy. Lots of talent and skill and speed, but he's a player that I think has made big strides learning how to play away from the puck in the past year with his coaching staff, has learned how to manage the puck in his game and his emotions a little bit better. But it's that fine line. He's a heartbeat guy. You want him to play with that fire and that emotion. You want him to toe the line, and he's done a good job of that.
Provorov.
Wow, he's just a horse. Just a horse. Just a tremendous two-way player, but just a big, strong horse. Can play all day. Great shape, and a tremendous kick, and such a just a foundational piece for us.
Hey, I tell you, man, it feels like it doesn't stop with the young talent. But Farabee, Frost, I mean, those kids have tremendous futures. I mean, when you analyze those kids, what are you seeing?
Well, they're both young guys that are, you know, learning the NHL. Farabee, right now has played more games than Morgan. And I would say that's probably because his two-way game is a little bit more refined and defined right now. And, a little easier to break in as a winger too versus a center. So it's probably a little easier learning curve, but Morgan's got all kinds of talent and he's made great strides this year, and he's going to be a huge part of our future. And I wouldn't even count him out this playoffs. I mean, he's a kid that I think has the ability to step in and play and make plays and seize the ice. And you can never have enough offensive guys, and he's a good one.
And then finally, your veteran core and with G and the leadership that Giroux has been and Couturier, those two have been just really a big part of buying into this whole thing.
Yeah, they are. And then they wear letters for a reason. They understand the challenge ahead of us, and they've, you know, they've battled hard and done their job in terms of playing the game, but they've also been great leaders for the young players and a great conduit, really, for the coaching staff to continue to get their message across to the team. And I think they understand the opportunity here, and they understand how difficult it's going to be. But right now, I know they're excited as anybody on our team to get this going.
And then finally, this story, this season has been one amazing story, and a guy that we're all rooting for and has been just an amazing figure is Oscar Lindblom.
Yeah, Oscar's, is in the midst of a breakout season. Then you get a cancer diagnosis, which obviously rocked his world and rocked our team as well. And it's been amazing to see him battle through and to kind of get to the end of his treatments and hopefully all going well, be given another chance here to come back and play and restart your life and your career. And he's very excited about it. And he's with us here now and still in quarantine, but over the next couple of days, hopefully we can get him back and get him started skating on the ice. And I don't know how long it'll take him, to get going, but you know, I know he's just excited about, again, resuming his career and restarting his life and being a part of our group. And our players are very excited to have him here as well.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole city's rooting for him. Lastly, Chuck, I got to say, I'm curious, what's your feeling about Philadelphia? How's it been for you personally here?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, we love the area. And I've been coming here for years as part of visiting teams to certainly understand the success of this franchise and the passion of the fans, and it's great. Our fan base is a little bit like our coach, honest, direct, blunt, and that's good. That's a good thing. But they care and they know good hockey, and hopefully we can find a way to do something here the rest of this summer to entertain them. But we're excited to get going, and it's been great to. Great year and a half in this area for sure.
That's awesome. You like August hockey? What do you think?
Why not? Why not?
And why so not? I give Bettman, I give the league a ton of credit. They did the bubble cities. They were smart. They pivoted off of Vegas and you went right to Canada, and they did a great job. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than during like today at 3:00. We got a game, and we got games on all night. It's pretty. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. And once you're in the rink, you don't even know what time of the year it is. But yeah, it's definitely different when you're walk outside and it's 85, 90 degrees and sunny and wearing shorts. But we're ready. Awesome. We're ready to play, and the guys are. Again, it just seems like we've had a lot of downtime here, and I know we're excited to get the series going.
That's awesome. Listen, best of luck, Chuck. We really appreciate your time, man. It was a lot of fun, and you deserve a lot of credit, and thanks. Keep it going, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
There he is. Chuck Fletcher, Flyers GM on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.